Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Altoona offers their police chief job to the director in Black River Falls. Meanwhile, a suicide awareness event at Mikon Cinema in Chippewa Falls draws over 250 people on a below zero Thursday night at the end of January. And Governor Evers visits Eau Claire the morning after his State of the State address. It's all next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson, and welcome. Black River Falls Police Chief Kelly Bakken this week was offered the Altoona Police Department's top job. According to a news release from the city Thursday night, Bakken received a conditional offer to become the Altoona chief after the city's police and fire commission met following a meet and greet for the community with the five finalists for the position. Chippewa Valley This Week asked Bakken how she feels her 18 months as Black River Falls police chief has prepared her for this similar post in Altoona.
Yes, besides being the chief in Black River Falls, I also have other management experience. So I was the chief in Maryland for Maryland Police Department for a couple of years. That was a part-time position, so I was doing that while I was working full-time as a detective. So that gave me some management experience, and also I served as the patrol investigations captain for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department before I moved into the chief's position. So I have about 5 years of upper management experience, plus my 20 years in law enforcement. So I feel very comfortable leading a department. I have fantastic leadership skills, and most of that comes along with communication and being able to empower and motivate employees. And I believe that I have a strong background in that.
Bakken earned a Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice from Upper Iowa University. She began her career in public safety as a deputy sheriff jail officer for the St. Croix County Sheriff's Office. The offer from the city of Altoona is conditioned on a satisfactory background check, physical, and on agreeing to terms of employment. If hired, Bakken would replace former Altoona Police Chief Jesse James, who recently resigned after being elected to the 68th District seat in the State Assembly. Now let's shift gears to our second story. A huge turnout on a cold below zero Thursday night at Mikon Cinema in Chippewa Falls. Before Thursday night's Tomorrow Needs You event, culminating in the showing in two theaters of the movie Suicide, The Ripple Effect, featuring a man who survived a jump off the Golden Gate Bridge in which he intended to take his own life, but the second he jumped, he said he didn't want to die anymore. He lived. He did survive, aided by, believe it or not, a sea lion. It's an incredible story, but the whole night was in memory of Dominic James Curtis, his mom posting on Facebook ahead of the event that Dominic came into this world bright-eyed and ready to conquer. She says he could count money at the age of three. No, she says that's not an exaggeration. Mrs. Curtis says about her late son, he loved walking in the woods, connecting with nature, and collecting rocks along the way. She says that Dominic spoke often about wanting a world filled with love, acceptance, and peace. And she says he also suffered with mental illnesses. Sean Curtis writes on Facebook that on November 25th, Dominic's battle became more than he could fight, and he put an end to it. And she says, our hearts have been ripped from our chests, and as a way of dealing with our grief, we're in the process of starting a foundation in an effort to keep other parents, friends, and children from going through what we're experiencing. And she invites you to learn more, hashtag Dominic's Light. That's what they're working on, developing a foundation called Dominic's Light. I spoke with Sean Curtis ahead of the showing of the movie at the Thursday night Tomorrow Needs You event at Mikon Cinema in Chippewa Falls.
Dominic was just a beautiful person. He loved nature. He really loved it to where he almost just kind of wanted to become part of it almost. He liked to collect rocks. He was just a really kind person. And he just really always talked about wanting to have a world of love and peace and acceptance. And that's what we're hoping to do.
Sean Curtis says she and her husband, Tim, are in the process of creating the Dominic's Light Foundation in memory of their late 19-year-old son. What will be the focus?
The community, our community here. Mental health awareness, mental health reform. We're hoping to even work to get some of our laws changed even, maybe to improve access, better funding for mental health. And also suicide prevention.
On hand with a table at Thursday night's event at Mikon Cinema in Chippewa Falls was Barb Hobbin, the education program coordinator with NAMI Chippewa Valley. NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. And why were they at Thursday Night's Tomorrow Needs You event?
The reason that we were invited is because we're obviously all about helping support families who are dealing with mental health issues. And so we were really glad that we were able to come and have people be more aware of us, because there's a lot of people that don't know that we're available in this area. So it was great for us to be able to be here and help people get to know us.
A lot of times, I guess people will say a tragedy will happen of one form or another, and people will, that's about the time, about one of the only time we really hear, like, well, we got to do something about the mental health area. So are we making any progress?
Well, it's slow. It's very slow. And the hard part is that there's not enough providers. That's one of the main crises that's going on, especially in this part of the state, the northern part of the state in particular. I don't know if you saw, there was a recent article that has been in the Leader Telegram about the fact that there's several counties, I can't remember the exact number, that have no psychiatrists, and a lot of them that, I mean, Eau Claire County even is down. They really should have at least three or four more providers, and they've been recruiting, but right now if you graduate from psychiatry school, you can have your pick of where you want to go, because it's a nationwide crisis. Yeah. So that's a big problem. And just more resources for, besides psychiatrists, just even therapists and other programs to help support people when they're trying to go through recovery from their illness and get more support. So we could use a lot more programs.
But then societally too, where are we at in terms of the need to have a compassion and understanding and empathy for those?
Getting better. It is getting better. There's still a lot of discrimination and stigma around the illness. And a lot of that is just that people don't talk about it. And so people are uneducated as to what it's really about. And it's in the media, they see some people who are at the extreme end of being very ill, and those are the people that end up sometimes, because they haven't gotten treated for their illness, are violent. But the reality is that very few people with mental illness are going to be violent. They tend to be more a victim of violence than they are to be someone who causes violence against someone else.
Barb Hobbin with NAMI of Chippewa Valley. NAMI, standing for National Alliance on Mental Illness. I asked her, what brought you into NAMI? Was it anything personal or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was our own family situation. I have a brother who's lived with bipolar illness for many years. My husband has family members. And then the main thing that really got us involved was when our older son developed mental health issues. So, yeah. It generally is what gets the people who are involved in it. It's because of their own personal situations. And the reality is that when you start talking to people, the reality is that most people know somebody. If they don't have it in their own family, they are aware of someone they know that is dealing with mental health issues. It's pretty common. One in five people will develop or will deal with mental health issues in their lifetimes.
In talking with Barb Hobbin of NAMI, I commented, how rare is it for grieving parents like Sean and Tim Curtis, just over 2 months since their 19-year-old son's suicide, to be holding an awareness night in Chippewa Falls, and also to be in the midst of starting a foundation?
That's very unusual for people to really step into that advocacy role so soon after having a tragedy like that. Yeah, that's very, very unique. Very brave and courageous.
To learn more about NAMI Chippewa Valley, check their website. That's namicv.org. 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 Or you can call 715-450-6484. That's 450-6484 for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Chippewa Valley. Finally, new Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers on January 22nd gave his State of the State address and was here in Eau Claire at the brand new Marshfield Medical Center the next morning.
The reason I came here is just to emphasize how important it is to have affordable and accessible health care across the state of Wisconsin. This place is a good example of that. In fact, just the last thing we heard about before I came in here was how they really work hard with people that, with another organization, frankly, the people that come into the emergency room, they actually that don't need to be hospitalized or sent. When they are sent home, they're sent home with good opportunities to have people checking in on them regularly with the technology, and so they're able to avoid the high cost of being treated in the hospital. That's one of their goals, to just do it the best way possible. And it's, for some people, it's going to be at home, and they've worked with another organization to make that happen. So they have a great facility, obviously, but they're also caring about making sure that healthcare is affordable and accessible. Great visit.
So you delivered your first State of the State. What's your sense afterwards? How did you feel?
I felt good. We talked about, you know, frankly, it was an easy one to do because the things I talked about were things that were part of the campaign. And after the campaign, we did listening sessions across the state and heard very similar things. So what we talked about, or what I talked about last night, were the same things we've heard from the people of Wisconsin. And, you know, I feel an incredible obligation to follow through on the things that were important to them. And so I thought it was a great event. Clearly, there was a lot of people standing on one side cheering and not on the other side, but that's the way politics works. I think we can accomplish some things going forward.
As far as expanding Medicaid, how will that happen when you've got both houses of the legislature controlled by people who don't want to do that?
Right, that's an outstanding question. I believe, as I said before, or said last night, the will of the people is the law of the land, and the will of the people is around this issue. I understand that there's kind of things that are politically seemingly in cement here, but people that are concerned about issues and making sure that we have accessible and affordable health care, those are the people that vote in this state, and the people of Wisconsin voted last November to do that. So we're gonna rally the troops across the state. This is an important issue for us monetarily and health care wise, and I think if people. State legislators hear from their voters, I think there can be some change of hope.
I think the Republicans have, or at least they would argue that, you know, they were elected too. I mean, voters voted for them as well, and they have different priorities. So how do you square that?
Well, I'm guessing that many of them did not seek re-election by saying, you know, we want to make sure we don't take the Medicaid money and don't serve people. I don't think that's what they ran on, frankly. And so I believe that as a statewide elected official, I heard directly from people all across the state that this is a priority. So I'm hoping that the people of Wisconsin will be active in this budget process and convince their legislators otherwise.
State Senator Bernier maybe had the strongest voice of dissent to what you said in the paper this morning, saying Wisconsin can't afford to go on a spending spree that will damage our vibrant economy. Do you have a response to that?
Well, I have two responses. One is the proposals that I put forward will be funded, and we won't be running a deficit, and we'll keep taxes. We will actually lower taxes. So I disagree with her in that respect. And I disagree with her on the respect that everybody, even, and I said this last night, we have a low unemployment rate. But at the same time, we have people that are working 40 hours a week that can barely put food on the table. And there's a lot of people like that. The United Way did a study before the election talking about the fact that there's hundreds of thousands of people in this state that are in that predicament. So no one needs to lecture me on the vibrancy of the economy. Yes, there are certain segments of the economy or the people of the state that are thriving, but there's a whole bunch that aren't, and we have to understand that.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers in Eau Claire recently on the day after his State of the State address, wrapping up this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Our thanks to the prospective new Altoona Police Chief, Kelly Bakken, current Black River Falls Police Chief. Also, our thanks to Sean Curtis and Barb Hobbin of NAMI Chippewa Valley for joining us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Catch our podcast at WWIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson.